The Torah moves. It's Parshas Bereishis with all that's going on. We'll right into Parshas Noach, the Mabul. Before you know it, here we are in the lives of the Avos. So we need to get our bearings a little bit. When we study the Avos, we say a welcome to the Avot. We're studying the greatest people in history. Founders, leaders, builders, great men. But so much more than that. So I'd like to dedicate the shmooze, our little talk, to giving you a bit of a hakdama, introductions to the study of the Avos. Five things I think we have to focus on to make this study the way it should be. The first point, and maybe the most important, is we have to understand when we look at the lives of the Avos, Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, the Imos, Sar, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, and this really what we're saying now goes through all of Tanakh and further. It's to understand the level a little bit in the Kedusha, the holiness, and the level of the Madrega of the people we're dealing with. I heard from my Rosh Yeshiva, Psycho Shalevsky, one time. He quoted a tshuva of Rabbi Kivager. Rabbi Kivager, the great Achron, 200 years ago, he writes to someone, he writes, this is how he opened up the tshuva. Lechvod HaRav HaChamor. In honor of the Rav, the donkey. You ever get a letter like that? I've been called a chamor, but lechvod HaRav HaChamor. Huh? Such a letter. So the recipient obviously asked the question, why do you write me a Rav HaChamor? Why is that? So Rabbi Kivager said like this. I want to teach you a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Beis says this. Im Rishon Ibnei Malachim. If the earlier generations are like kings to you, Anu b'nei anashim, then we're men, we're people. Im Rishon b'nei anashim, if the earlier generations are just men, Anu chamorim, then we're like chamorim, we're like donkeys. We get worse. You say, okay, I'm a high-level donkey. V'lo kechamoro, we had great chamorim. We've had great donkeys in our history. Chananya ben Dosa had one, Chanina ben Dosa, Pinchas ben Yar, but not like that, El Shark chamorim, you're like a regular chamor. Now, so what does this mean? Simply, this means that it's giving us the levels, right? The early generations, if they were like kings, then we're people, right? If you think of us being like people, then we're only donkeys. Rabbi Kivager said it's more than that. The Gemara is giving you a way to evaluate yourself. You can evaluate yourself by your perception of the earlier generations. And if your perception of the earlier generations, if you understand, if you've imbibed, if you've appreciated Jewish wisdom and our history, and you know that the earlier generations, they were like B'nai Malachim, they were like kings, then you're a man. That means you're an Adam, you think like a human being. But if you think they were just regular human beings, that's all they were, like regular human beings, like everybody else, then you're a Chamor. Your whole perception is wrong. You don't get it. So Kivager said, I see from the way you're asking on the Rishonim, your lack of proper respect for them, Derech Eretz, whatever questions we ask, I see that you're a Chamor. You think that they're just regular people. You think you're regular people, then you're a Chamor. You're a Rav, so I called you Rav, but you're a Rav a Chamor. That's what he told me. I saw a beautiful pun in Yafis I never saw before. The Baal HaFla explains the Mishnah in Avos. The Mishnah tells us, Da Mala Mala Mimcha. You have to know what's above you. The Pashup Shah, obviously, we're talking about, you know, God's providence understanding. You have an eye in Roa, an eye that sees, Vos in Shamas, and a ear that hears, V'chom HaSecha B'Sefer Nechtavim. And all of your words are written in a Sefer. So the Baal HaFla says a little different. He says, you know what it is? You have to know what the earlier Madrigas were. Da Mala Mala Mimcha. Know what the level of the earlier generations were. For once upon a time, there was an Ayin Roeh. There was Nevuah. Could you imagine? There were tens of thousands of Nevi'im around the Jewish people. People were getting direct communication from God. Ayin Roeh. There were people who saw. Tzofayich. They saw. And we go down some levels. What was after that? Vos and Shemaz. But then there was still a hearing. There was a basko. There were heavenly voices that not crazy people heard, that great people heard. We have in Gemara, basko. The basko comes out. And then already we went down another level, and then Torah Shabbat had to be written. V'chom ha'secha b'sefer nechtavim. But the point was, dama l'malam imcha. To know to know we love our generation, we appreciate our generation, we appreciate the nisyonis of our generation. We don't want to be another any other generation. But we have to know Dom Alamala Mimcha. So both say these are basic facts of Jewish history. This is Jewish history. This is how we interpret Jewish history, this is how we look at Jewish history. Anybody with their eyes open can even see it happening today. Generations are changing, things that were accepted, not accepted, amongst the non-Jews, amongst the Jews. The world's going down. And the higher later generations were on a higher level. So Rabbi said, that's a general word about the generations. What about when we talk about the Avos itself? So I sent this around, but I want to share with everybody an amazing thing. You know, think about the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, who passed away in 1933, was, you know, such an enormous person. I've seen more than a few accounts of people who remember one conversation they had with him, one encounter. They carry it with them their whole life. Shimon Schwab always used to speak about a shalosh shudas he had with him, and the mashgiach of Lake, of Nassim Vachvogel, recounts the shmooze that he had. He says, I sat down at Chafetz Chaim, I went with three friends, and he sat me down on the seat next to him, and he gave us this shmooze, and they remembered it. It was a person that made an impact. There are countless stories of his having Ruach HaKodesh. Now I know my Rishiva's father-in-law had a mice, and that story about Rav Nosson Vachvogel had a story. That, countless stories. He saw things. He saw himself, Olam Hatzofa. He saw everything. When he passed away, it was a terrible, depressing time in 1933, because people believed it's not Shaykh. The Chafetz Chaim is going to leave this world. The Mashiach's not going to come. That was the feeling. Someone represented everything Yiddishkeit has to offer, and represented Spiele Yeshua so deeply and so intently, and spoke about it, and he was so involved in that. It's not Shaykh. It can't be, but yet he died. And Mashiach didn't come. It was depression. Rav Chana Wasserman says that there was a dibuk. I don't want to describe what dibuk is. Look it up. That said, in Shemayim, the Chafetz Chaim is considered a Tana. It's considered a Tana. The Svarim are learned, super authoritative everywhere he spoke. And the Mishnah, can you imagine Judaism today without the Mishnah Berurah? Without the Chafetz Chaim, without the Avos Chesed? Such a person. So Victor Miller was asked to compare the generations. Listen to what he said. He says, if we're Adams, imagine yourself like an Adam, not Adam, Atom, with a T, yeah? An Adam, then the Chafetz Chaim is like a baseball. Yeah, an atom is really small. A lot of atoms that go into a baseball. That's the, look at, who are we and who is the Chafetz Chaim? It's like, it's an atom to a baseball. But that Chafetz Chaim compared to the Avraham Avinu, and I would be scared to say it, if Victor Miller didn't say it, I was always going to make the shmoo's name baseball, and I didn't want to do it. He said, it's like a very good baseball compared to the sun. That's the difference between that person who died in 1933, that the whole Jewish world was under him. Yeah, the excitement that was caused in the Jewish world when they found that 5-second clip of the Chafetz Chaim. Look it up. Amazing. People have pictures and they have colored versions of it. That was a very good baseball compared to this person named Avraham Avinu. Echadai Avram. Adam HaGadol Ba'anokim. Now, why is this so important, Rabosai? Because when we come to study, and we come to analyze such a person, his children, we don't analyze him like we're analyzing another great leader, a Washington, a Lincoln, a Lord Nelson for the English Brethren. Those were people for sure. And I'm not a cynic. Definitely there are a lot of ideals that played into their actions. But there's a lot of other stuff also. Read about them, you'll see. And I'm not even saying all the things, because we're sitting in a Tzibur B'nai Torah. There was ego, there was prestige, there was anger, there was wanting to be famous, hubris, lack of self-confidence. All those things played by those people. Everybody knows it. The negative mistakes are the fathers of our country for the Americans. Those shaykh to the empire where the sun never set were mistakes like our mistakes. You know, Lord Nelson wasn't a different type of person than us, Betzim. Maybe it's less. But the others are different. They're altogether different. To bring this home a little bit more, let's just give an example, one more example of someone closer to us. Rav Avram Grodzowski, the I said earlier, Grudzinski, Rav Grudzinski, the Taras Avram, Rav Alba's father-in-law, writes of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Yisrael Salanter was nifter only 150 years ago. He was considered a Rebbe of the Chafetz Chaim. He says, I want to explain to you what Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was like. Imagine for a moment, if you will, someone who has no Bittul Torah, never wastes a second from Bittul Torah, from no time wasted of learning. That's a simple thing. No, you know what that means? That means not in Kamus and not in Eichus. Not in amount, there was no time wasted, but also not in Eichus, in quality. If I'm sitting in front of my Sefer learning, but my head isn't working at top speed, as much as I humanly can then, that's also Bittul Torah. Maybe not the level we have to work on, but that's also Bittul Torah. You could have done, I had 2 hours of learning, what did you do? I didn't say a word. I had a tiny steeper. I was learning the whole time. Well, how much of your mental energy were you using then? You know, a little more, a little less, took a break in the middle. Rabbi Salanter was going with all piston shooting all the time, never wasting a second. Every break was considered. That's what the Taras Avraham says. That was Rabbi Yisrael. Imagine such a person. Now, when you come to imagine such a person, you have to realize his mistakes, not that they couldn't make mistakes, but the mistakes are not our mistakes. They're living in a different place. Their cheshbonos are different. Someone's thinking about God all the time. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, we're thinking about the Rosh Hashanah all the time. B'dveikas Atzuma, always connected, like the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim, to Lahamed Uma. They're always thinking, I have to be Mamed and Uma. Way beyond themselves. Rav Aaron Cutler's wife said, in 50 years, he needs to speak about himself. All my wife hears about me is me complaining. Yeah? For 28 years. Complaints, complaints, complaints. 50 years, he didn't speak about himself one time. A person died 50, 60 years ago. They go back, back, back. I was learning once with my Rebbe, and we got to a Rashba. And he said to me, David, to say the Rashba could make a mistake, but you and I would never be smart enough to chop his mistakes. Huh? So it's not just the negative that's different. It's their whole the whole capacity for positivity is different also. The capacity for accomplishment. How many balls could they keep spinning? How many dishes could the Avram spin? What could he accomplish in a day? What kind of focus did he have? What was his feel like? He's talking about something different. Okay? So Rabbi said, I want to emphasize, this to me is not a frum point. It's not because, you know, I have the reshiva thing, so I got to say frum things. I think this is the truth. And when we go about a study with the wrong assumptions, and there are many who are going about this study with wrong assumptions and wrong ideas, you're going to come up with wrong conclusions. And when we go at them with the right assumptions and the right way of looking at them, we'll see great light. And their lives will be a light to us. Okay, so that's hakdama number one. Hakdama number two. Different type of thing. A practical point. You have to realize this is a life study. Every year, we get to meet these heroes. Every year. What does that mean? You approach something that I'm going to study once in my life, right? That's how I would go to Cambridge to study English literature. Yeah, I'm going to dedicate 2 weeks of my life to that. That's it, 2 weeks. Maybe I'll chazer a little bit. Maybe I won't chazer. You read a book, an interesting book, right? We all have an intellectual crowd here. Right, you read a book sometimes. But that's not what. It's not your life study. When I look at a life study, it's different. The Torah built it like that. Every rabbi in the world is speaking about these people now for 8 weeks or 9 weeks of all Sefer Bereishis. Every shul in the whole Jewish world, Torah anytime, filling up the classes. Amazing. It's a lifetime study. That's different. It gives a different sense about it. Now, Rabbosa, and in that lifetime study subset, there are two ways to approach such a study. And they're both valid. And they both speak to where we are today. Some of us have the time and energy and resources to really focus. I really want to understand that Kedah. What was going on there? Avram, Yitzchak. Did Yitzchak know? Did he not know? Who was the main figure? Was it Avram? Was it Yitzchak? What schus are we really living on? Avram, Yitzchak. What was Sarah's role in it? She died. Did she have a schus? To really think and work it out. Amazing. That's great. But even if you don't have the time to do that, there's another way to learn. You hear a Dvar Torah today. You hear another Dvar Torah tomorrow. Something you connect with. I don't have the time and the abilities right now, maybe to put myself fully into it, but this is study your heroes. They're here for us again during these 9 weeks. Keep your ears open. Hear a good Dvar Torah, right? That also builds a sugya. Not in the hot, intense way of really focusing, spending 10 hours learning the Akedah, like would be great, but also in the light way. And as you go, you start to filter and say, wow, that word I really related to. That point of Avram is really interesting. I'm more a Yaakov person than the Yitzchak person. This gave me a different understanding of Sarah. You hear it? Kobetz al Yad Yirba. The Pasuk in Mishlei tells us, Kobetz al Yad Yirba. Gras says, you gather a little bit at a time. This year of Vort, next year of Vort. But I'm not starting again every year. It's not like it's a new person. I know nothing of Avram Skasa, nothing of Gurus Yitzchak, nothing of the Shlemas of Yaakov. I know those terms already. And now I go into it deeper. What's din? What's chesed? What's a combination? What does it mean to be combined? Was Yaakov just a parv guy? Who was he? I go into Kobetz al Yad Yirba, a little bit every year. Okay, so that's like Dhamma number two. Or we're up to three at the pre-midway point. This should be, for sure, an intellectual study. But it's got to be a passionate study also. You got to be passionate about this limud. It's like looking into your grandfather's life. So when people study their grandfather's life, what was it like in Europe? Kansas, what was he doing? It's not a cold, studious, disconnected way. I study indigenous tribes in the South Pacific, and I study the Avos. Now, it'll be interesting to study indigenous tribes in the South Pacific, and I've read about them myself. Ephemot. I'm not passionate about that study. It's interesting. When we learn about the Avos, we learn about our family. This is my family, this is my story, I'm connected here. I'm a proud member of this tribe. So I keep my objectivity. I try to understand things, but with a passion, just like I would study my grandparents. Okay, a fourth point, which builds on the third point, a little more subtle. We realize deeply that we're coming to study things about ourselves. About ourselves. Not just my grandfather's study that I'm passionate about. This is my blueprint. Do you ever wonder, where does a Jewish people get its strength from? So much suffering. And yet, a Yid turn that says, Kol Ma'aseh HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Tov. Everything God does is for good. So many of the Jewish people for generations have been saying that. What makes a few secular Jews in Odessa suddenly get the itch we have to go to Eretz Yisrael? Where does that come from? And especially, what gave the Doris the wherewithal and mass to be Moser Nefesh, to give up their lives for Yichud Hashem and their children's lives? Where'd that come from? So listen to these two Mishnayos, I will say. And this is something you have to chazer this every year. Asar Doris mi Adam ad Noach, the first Mishnah says. 10 generations from Noach until Adam to Noach. Asar Doris mi Noach ad Avraham. So, okay? 10 generations from Adam to Noach, 10 generations from Noach to Abram. Mishnah 1. Mishnah 2. Asar Sionas Nisnase 10. Test Nisnase, we tested Avram Avinu, Vamad Bekulam. Avram Avinu. What's the difference between the first two Mishnayos? Both Mishnayos refer to Avram. One says Avram, one says Avram Avinu. Avram our father. Why? Why did the first Mishnah not say Avram our father? And the second Mishnah went out of its way to say Avram our father. So listen to this famous Ruach Chaim. There are midos shat tzaddik, even a tzaddik, regular tzaddik. Tarech v'yageh la'sigam. He worked hard to get these things. But lebanav acharov, hema keteva mutva. They become something natural to them. This person worked hard. This rebbe was tarech his whole life on a certain midah, a certain characteristic. Afterwards, it's in the family. It changed. He changed the nature of the family. We find that Jews are Moser Nefesh. And that's mutba banu, that's a nature from us, from Avram Avinu, that was Moser himself to a lower kastim, El Munoso. Avram was ready to give up his faith. And born, thrown into a pit by Nimrod. That's in us. In us. All the nisyonos that Avram went through were for us. He was giving us a different nature. Suddenly a Jew sits in somewhere from nowhere and says, I have to go to Eretz Yisrael. Where is that from? That's because Avram went to Eretz Yisrael once. The Kabbalah is called David Minishamay Latav. Right? And the accepting everything for good is from the nisyon of the Ra'av. When Abram finally made it to Eretz Yisrael, then he has to leave because of the famine, and he accepted it. Like many in the Sionot. So now it's beautiful, says Reb Chaim Volozhiner. The first mission is historical accounting. 10 generations from Adam to Noah, 10 generations from Noah to Abram. But when we talk about the Nisyonos of Abram, when we talk about his tests, then he's Abram Avinu. Now, Sar Nisyonos is not Abram Avinu, Abram our father, because those Nisyonos gave us something. They changed our nature forever. You want to know who you are? Look at the Avos. Taking their strength every week to week, because this is you. They bequeath us a different nature. You can touch eternity. If you feel different, it's because you are different. And that gives us healthy pride. We mentioned the idea of pride before. You know, you speak to people who have a big, what we call yichus. I'm an anical from the, I'm a sofer. That's beautiful. Rebbe Melech, Eli Melech of Luzhinsk. We all have to have that. We're all children. Those of us who are naturally children, and those of us who made the amazing step to be a son of Avraham Avinu, even more so. Look who our parents are. This is our reality. Okay? So that's Akdamar number five. Akdamar number four, excuse me. That's Akdamar number four. Intro number four. Intro number five, Rav Ossian. Is this Limud that we're going into this study? We got to go into it with joy. With joy! Amazing! What type of joy? Two joys. Simcha v'tuv levav. I love to say over, I said it between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. What do these two mean? This Tachas Yisher Lovadat Hashem Lekech v'simcha tuv levav. The Torah tells us you need two things in Avodat Hashem. You need simcha, happiness, and tuv levav. Tuv levav is good-heartedness, right? So I'm looking high and low to figure out what does it mean to be good-hearted. What is that? Everybody tells you have to be over b'simcha. But the Pasuk doesn't say simcha, it's a simcha tuv levav. So you have to know how to define both these terms. You have to have joy, have tuv levav. So the only one I found so far that was all made on it is Rav Kook and Musa Ravicha, and this is how I understood what he said. It's hard to understand the Rav, but this is my attempt at understanding. I'll give a mushel, which I've given before. Rav Ossai, two families, middle class, decide to buy a new car. Yeah? So the average from family in Passaic or Ramah Beit Shemesh is going to get a Odyssey or a Sienna, right? That's the average thing. The only real question is it going to be black or it's going to be gray? You need a seven-seater, big family, etc. Tough, they make such a decision, they're headed over to the Toyota dealership together, each in their old cars, which are going to try to trade and get their best offer. We'll see. Yeah, but they're both going to drive away with a Sienna. On the way, one family sees a sign. They say, you know what, let's go get some ice cream at Katzefet. Fine, they go get Katzefet at the mall. In the mall, they see there's a BMW seven-seater with the heated seats, self-driving, you know, does everything for you, reads your mind, takes you where you want to go, takes you where you don't want to go, gets you out of, keeps you out of things, you know. A $500,000 car. They were ready to put down 180,000 shekels. Suddenly they see a $500,000 car. And guess what? It's being raffled, and the raffle's over in 10 minutes. Says, you know what? Within trying to buy a new car, he puts down his 50 shekels, goes, has his ice cream. Suddenly over the loudspeaker, they hear the Schwartz family has won the new seven-seater BMW. Okay. So now the Schwartzes are driving out, hoping the rabbis in the community don't see this fancy car that they have. Yeah. And the other's family meet each other. Now, listen well, guys. Both of these families are happy. Right? They're both happy, for sure. You buy a new car. I bought new cars once. You're happy. I just get old ones. Look at my car. You can see what I mean. Right? It's a great thing to get a new car. It's a big simcha. Yeah. But the first family's joy is the joy of tuv levav. It's the joy of something that fits me. This car fits us. You know, we're a mid-sized family. We're well enough off that we get such a car. Not everybody can. It's within our world of musagim. It fits. I have a joy in things that fit me. The other people, as the BMW is driving them around by its own, are pinching themselves from excitement. Is this really our car? You know, it's just unbelievable. You press the button, who knows what happens, blue lights, yellow lights, heated seats, air-conditioned seats, leather. They can't believe it's them. You know, the other mush I like to say about this is sometimes you see in a shidduch, you know, the guy wonders himself, like, why in the world did she choose me? You know, sometimes a lot of shidduchim, it makes sense. Two people kind of similar, you know, same basic range of people. And then some people are like, what in the world was that? You know, how in the world? You know, he was just like a regular guy. And he got the prom queen. What happened? You know. But it fit. You know, and he's also wondering the same question. And he's pinching himself from excitement. I can't believe it, right? So that would both say, that, as I understand, of course, then using examples, of course, is simcha v'tuv levav. In this context, simcha always changes to its brothers, right? Tuv levav, good-heartedness, sense that I have a joy in this thing. It's a joy of comfort. This fits me. I'm happy with this. This is within my world of musagim. It fits my price bracket, and I have joy. It makes sense. Simcha is that excited, something way, way beyond me is happening here. And I have a joy and excitement and I can't believe. So Takas Sher Lovada Tashem Lokek Basimcha Tuv Levav means in our Avodah Hashem we need both of those feelings. You have to feel it. You know, tefillin fits me. Makes sense. I know how to do it. Seven straps. This, that. Yeah? Black. Put the black on the right side. Put the Tefel Rosh in the basic point. I know the basic Kavanas are a Chokhan Aruch. It fits me. But I understand. That's Tuv Levav. I have Tuv Levav in my tefillin. But simply, you know what tefillin is? It's kashrus to the Bari Olam and all these types of things. I know there's so much more to it than meets the eye, and I know that. And I'm so excited. So I have comfortable with my tefillin. They fit me. But I know that I'm touching something much, much higher than that. And if that's true about every mitzvah or bosai, all the more so with Lima Torah, right? The whole point of Lima Torah, what are we doing in the morning? We want to be comfortable with learning, right? Comfortable with learning. I get it. I know how to break down a sugya. I know how to parse a gemara. I know how to ask a chakira. I know how to break down a tosis. I know how to make a machlokes tosis with Rashi. I know all these things. Yeah? I'm comfortable. Of course. I have more ideas. The world is coming to make more sense to me. One halacha fits to another halacha. Okay. But besides that, do you understand? You're talking about Dvar Hashem. This is the stuff that the whole world was created. This is before Brias Olam. This is rocking. This is, you're touching infinity every sugya you learn. And you need both things. You have to have tuv levav in your lima Torah, and you have to have simcha. One without the other is always going to be deficient. You have to touch both. I'm a balabas on the Torah. So you see, sometimes guys don't know how to learn well. I'm like a balabas, walks around like a balabas. You're a balabas. You don't know anything. The Torah is so much higher than you. You know how to quote a few gemaras. It's something much, much higher. Why are you so comfortable? Libo gaspe talmudo. It's not. It's something beyond you. Yeah, I get it. So Rabbi said those same two mitzvahs, those two simchas. I was thinking. Also, we come to the avos. We come to the avos, same thing. Tuv levav, our grandparents, shaychus. I feel connected to these people. They're my people. This is my family. That's tuv levav. I'm comfortable with them. But it has to be besimcha also. I'm shaykh to learn about a son. I'm an atom compared to a baseball. He's a son compared to a baseball. I'm an atom compared to the son. What shaychus do I have to be nichnas lehechel amelech, to learn about people, to be their grandchildren? I'm embarrassed I have such a grandfather. If he saw me, what would he think? And I have those joy, both joys. I have a tremendous joy of comfort with the others, but I have an excited sense that this, I'm always dealing with something beyond me. So let's just quickly chazer. So we said there are five hakdamot that we need as we engage in this study, right? One, I don't forget for a second who these people are, and I will approach this study with care, not turn them into psychological cases or political figures. I will remember they are way above me or anything I really understand. Two, I remember this lifelong study, every year becoming more and more knowledgeable. Three, it's not just an intellectual study, it's my family. It's passionate. Four, I remember the Yesod of Avraham Avinu. This is more a story too. And finally, I approach the study with Simcha and Tu Levav. I'm more and more comfortable with them, but I'm also more and more blown away with them. And excited, these are my ancestors. Bezrat Hashem, we should all dig in, learn great things, and live up to our amazing, incomparable heritage.